Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show with me, Tim Fuel, still combating man's league that's holding on in solitary confinement for more of the finest in Non-League. This week, it's massive. It's the FA Cup. It reaches the third round proper. It's also the FA Trophy, second qualifying round. And there's more movement in the managerial merry-go-round than after that pre-Christmas team curry night out. So let's get things underway. So, as I mentioned in the opener there, this is the big one in the FA Cup. Despite the hundreds of clubs already eliminated from the competition, the thousands of games already played, and the fact that I've spoken with our next guest probably more than some of my family already this season, some still believe this is the start of the FA Cup competition. We, of course, know differently, but we do have to call it by its name of the first round proper. And all that gone before us, obviously, was far too informal for the powers that be. There is only one man who can tell us everything we need to know about this round, though, and this competition. And I'm delighted he also knows more that we don't really need to know either, but he will tell us. Good morning, Mr. Phil Innes, at FA Cup That Far.
Hi, Tim. How are you doing?
Well, I'm still suffering from this cold, but you can't, even a cold, it can't be put off by the magic of the FA Cup.
No, of course not. No, whatever, however you're feeling, it's the big weekend, and particularly if your club's made it this far to the first round, you're going to go watch them. Hopefully, maybe playing against a bigger league team, and it will hopefully be a memorable day, and you'll forget all about the cold if you get a victory.
And I mentioned about the name. I'm all for convention and tradition, but it doesn't really do the competition justice, does it?
No, it does. I mean, I understand the name of the first round proper, and it's been there ever since the qualifying rounds were introduced way back in 1888. But it does have an element of a derogatory term to all the efforts that have been put in by all the clubs prior to this round, all the way back from August. But, you know, it's there. I like tradition in other areas, so in a way I should quite like this tradition too.
Yeah, and you think we're ever going to get to call this the seventh round? I mean, for me, it sounds far more exciting.
I know, it does sound exciting. I don't know. I wrote an article a while ago about the need to get more non-league clubs through to this round in itself. And I know others have had an opinion about the first round should be called, the extra premier round should be called the first round way back in August. It would sound better. It would indicate that we'd had a lot more clubs taking part, and maybe it would encourage the national media to make a more formal link between all that's gone on before and what's going to go on from now on.
But they're all going to get excited, though, you know, after this weekend, probably this weekend as well. 40 ties, a whopping £36,000 up for grabs for each winner, and there's a fair chance for a decent number of non-league sides progressing and netting that money and going on to the next round.
Well, we've got six of them guaranteed in total, because we've got six all non-league ties. And we've got clubs like Torquay taking on Woking, who are both step six clubs. So that guarantees a step six club will be in the second round. And we've got Hitchin, who are taking on Solihull Moors. Both of those, if either of those win, they will equal their best ever FA Cup run. So there's lots to play for those are all non-league tie matches.
Yeah, and you mentioned Torquay and Woking there. Two clubs with great pedigrees, both FA Cup and those clubs, and both managers we well known to the show. And I can't help thinking that this season's non-league's big FA Cup story may involve probably the winner of that tie in a future round.
Well, yes, yeah. I mean, if you say the guaranteed one will go through, but we know from the FA Cup in past times that there will be one or two heroes of this first round matches. We're seeing on Friday night with Haringey Borough, who one of three step seven clubs that are still remaining, and they take on AFC Wimbledon in what is the biggest gap between two teams in this competition. You've got step seven versus step three. And obviously, if they can get a victory there, that would be a fabulous occasion. It's already their sixth FA Cup tie of the season. So if they beat AFC Wimbledon, they will actually end up winning more matches than the eventual winners will go on to win.
Yeah, well, we spoke to Tom Loisel, the manager there at Haringey, when the draw first came out. And it was just clear how much it meant to him and meant to the club. That they, one, they got through to the first round proper, but two, they're that BBC opening game of the round on TV. That's the magic of the FA Cup.
Yeah, it's what we all look forward to. And the BBC are very good at milking that element of the David and Goliath competition. So hopefully we'll get a wonderful game on Friday night to kick it all off. And then obviously it all ends on the Monday night with Hampton and Richmond Borough, who are taking on Oldham Athletic, and they'll be looking to make it through to the second round themselves for the first time ever. So there's a lot of opportunities for big cup upsets in this first round, and keep your fingers crossed we'll get a few of them, because obviously last year it was a bit disappointing that we had so few non-league clubs through to the second round and none at all through to the third round.
Yeah, and you mentioned those all non-league ties. You have another one, Chesterfield Billericay Town. That would be a big game in non-league anyway, that everybody would be itching to find the result for. But there's a number of non-league against league opposition, which, quite seriously, that there's a number of cup sets are likely to be around the corner as well.
Well, yeah, we even have some fantastic non-league versus ex-FA Cup winner ties. So there's three of those are happening. We've got Aldershot Town are hosting Bradford City. You've got Dover Athletic, who are travelling over to Bury. And the big one, I think, is Maidenhead United, who are hosting Portsmouth, who are top of the EFL One. I went down to Maidenhead when they hosted Port Vale a couple of seasons ago, so I know exactly what that atmosphere is going to be like.
Yeah, a great atmosphere, but having played there as Hayden Yelling, it's not great for parking. So I'm not quite sure where all those Portsmouth fans are going to end up, but I'm sure for a great game there. Another one that sort of caught my eye was former non-league side Tranmere and Oxford City going there. And you think, non-league club, they're the away side, but knowing that sometimes those Tranmere supporters can get on the backs of their players, it's one of those where if they're not leading within 20 minutes, you can see certainly Oxford City maybe grabbing a draw and taking it back to their place.
Well, I mean, Oxford City last season did exactly that to, I think is it Colchester United they played in the first round last year? So they've got a pedigree in being able to beat league teams at this stage of the competition in recent times. So yes, I would imagine very much that Tranmere will be wary, having been themselves a non-league team only recently, of the standard of that level of football.
Yeah, and you look at the other non-league clubs against league opposition, non-league clubs are truly in form. Chorley taking on Doncaster Rovers. Now, the Doncaster Rovers Football League Division 1, there's a lot of Division 1 clubs, which maybe that creates an extra step for non-league clubs to makes it a bit more difficult to create that cup set. But that's certainly one that the Doncaster players and management team aren't going to be looking forward to.
Well, for sure, because Chorley are flying in the National League North. And so, Doncaster won't be playing that kind of team week in, week out in the EFL. And they'll be definitely up for Chorley to replicate what they did last season, if not even going further. So, yeah, there's very much a cup upset on the cards at that match, I would expect.
And obviously, it is the round that captures the imagination of people that aren't involved in non-league. So any of our listeners, if they're out over the weekend, maybe in the pubs or at dinner party, it may come up in conversation at the FA Cup. Are there any tidbits that maybe they should be using there, some of your super facts and stats that can wow your friends?
Well, there's a couple of things I like to think are happening. On Sunday, we know we've got a load of matches being moved so the BBC can cover what they see would be the potential cup upsets of the round. And Sunday happens to coincide with the anniversary of the very first FA Cup matches way back in 1871. And two of the teams that played on that day in 1871, or two of the grounds, shall I say, that were used for games played that day are actually being used for games to be played in this year's first round. So Maidenhead United, we talked about already, they played their opening ever FA Cup game back in 1871 at York Road. And so obviously they're replicating that 147 years later against Portsmouth. And down at Topfield, the Hitchin town who are playing there, their ground was used again back on the very first day of the FA Cup for the original Hitchin club. So you've got a great connectivity between the competition's past and its present.
See, that's the sort of thing. You couldn't get that anywhere else, Phil. Who else would have researched that so well and know that sort of information?
Well, I do know the clubs are shouting about it, but yeah, outside of that, it's not something that comes to mind immediately.
And obviously, we speak about your research, and your research on the FA Cup is fantastic. But I must give a shout out to your work on the armistice stuff that you've been tweeted about this week as well. Do you want to tell people about that if they've not seen it?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was a very big passionate thing for me to be able to pay some kind of tribute and respect to all the fallen of World War One, in particular those that had played for football clubs. And I don't necessarily have all the information at all about all the individual names that took part in the Great War and didn't return. But what I could do as a way of a tribute was identify all those clubs that had taken part in the very last FA Cup in 1914-15, who did not return to compete in the competition again. And so I used that analogy and that metaphor to convey my thoughts about those that had given their lives for our future freedoms. And I'm proud to have done that, and I'm pleased with the response that it's had.
Yeah, and if people haven't seen it, they can see it obviously on your Twitter account at FA Cup Fact File your website as well.
Yeah, that's right. So I've written it on my WordPress FA Cup Fact File website, but you can access it through my Twitter account. Interestingly, on Saturday, as it happens, I'm heading towards Aldershot Town to watch them take on Bradford City. So quite an apt location to be in the town at the home of the Army for this Armistice 100 weekend. And it should be a very, very special occasion.
It's a very special weekend. And thanks to you, Phil, it's more special because we've got a lot more information than we ever would have thought possible about the FA Cup and the Armistice and Remembrance. Phil, it's always a pleasure to speak to you and look forward to speaking to you for the next round as well, because we are guaranteed plenty of non-league action there.
Yeah, and let's hope we get more than just the six clubs and we get a whole handful more to make it extra interesting for us.
Thanks as ever, Phil. Cheers.
Cheers.
So let's speak with one of those managers brewing up a cauldron of FA Cup magic this weekend. An old friend of the show who took on a new club this season, and it's clearly started with aplomb. Good morning, Gary McCann, manager at Hampton Richmond Borough.
Good morning, all.
Now, in the FA Cup first round, a league opposition in the form of Oldham Athletic, you've got to be pleased with that.
We are, yes. We won the fourth qualifying round against Eastleigh away from home, which, you know, most had seen us as big underdogs in that game. You want some reward for it, obviously. And, you know, to draw a plum side like Oldham Athletic at the Beverley at home in front of the cameras now as well. It's a live TV game on Monday. It's, you know, it couldn't have worked out much better. And it's a fitting reward for, you know, a fantastic performance at Eastleigh.
Yeah, and they're former FA Cup semi-finalists. What's your own FA Cup record like?
Playing-wise, you know, most of my playing days, I mean, obviously my career was, you know, finished quite early, but for the 10, 12 years I played, you know, I got to the first round, you know, on quite a few occasions. Played at Notts County, played at Cardiff, played at home to Swansea. You know, we had some really good games, beat Leighton Orient, obviously, in a replay, which was a big highlight, and drew Blackpool in the second round. Managerial-wise, it's been a little bit tough. Obviously, the format had changed over the course of the time. You know, getting to the first round proper was a big feat for a level three side, which is obviously what I found myself with at Hendon. Used to come in at the early rounds, and if the draws wasn't kind to you, it'd be, you know, it would see the route path pretty, you know, pretty tough. But I managed to get to the first round on a couple of occasions with Hendon. You know, and it was the draw wasn't as kind as it's been this time round. We drew again, you know, a game against against Chelmsford away, which was ended up being a defeat and not such an attractive game. And we also got Aldershot when they were a conference national side at the time. They'd just come down and were finding their feet again. So both ties wasn't as as glamorous as this one. So, as I say, this is one we can really embrace and really enjoy, and we're all looking forward to.
Yeah, and I'd imagine the FA Cup has you fizzed up like a kid on Christmas Eve. Do you try and impart that excitement onto the players, or do you hold it back so that they stay focused on the job in hand?
Well, I think any manager would tell you it's very much about the job in hand. The next game's the most important one, and I found it a little bit hard to get excited, if I'm being honest, on the back of our league form. It's been, since that Eastleigh win, we've had, only a point gained out of the three games that we've played, after that. And, our performance levels have really dropped off. I understand an awful lot was put into the Eastleigh game, and I understand mentally it was, it's been a big challenge for some of the players with the game, the FA Cup game facing us, and also obviously the cameras being there as well. But, I've been a little disappointed, if I'm being honest, in the last week, 10 days with performance levels and the standards that, we've set early season have definitely dropped off. Is it a coincidence? I'd say not. But I look at myself and I look at my management team and I look at the players, in general, and we've all got to be accountable and we've all got to, take some criticism on the back of that. Of course, it's a massive, massive day for the football club on the whole. It's a fantastic occasion for all. But my mindset and my mindset is always geared around results, and our results coming into the game haven't been great. So, of course, tonight we'll set us up training wise tonight and Saturday with the game Monday in mind, and I'm sure my mind will very much, switch across to where it should be. But at the moment, it's very much on the last defeat. So, we'll get ourselves focused for Monday, I'm sure, from tonight inwards.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because I read your comments on the back of your last game. And maybe, looking at the positive, and I'll be your little positive nagging devil in your ear. When you're up against league opposition, maybe those sort of results and those sort of performances, if they've been sending some scouts along to watch you, blows them a bit more into a false sense of security. Because you're 16th in the National South. You had such a great start, but you still are only 4 points off the playoff zone.
Well, we're 4 points, I think, off of third place, I think, with how we sit, or something ridiculous like that. I mean, the league is relentless. It's every game's a tough game, which we found in the last three and beyond. It's a really tight, competitive league. And as you just said, the league table shows that. Two or three back-to-back wins can see you, sort of catapult into the higher ends of the league. We've had a fall off because of, our points return in the last five games. It's not been anywhere near good enough. But it is a very, very competitive league. And you're right. I mean, we had a conversation amongst ourselves on Saturday after our performance against Oxford City. I mean, credit to our opponents, but we were nowhere near where we needed to be. And we actually said, if they had some scouts here today, which I believe they did, they've not maybe seen our full potential and our full capacity. So that in itself, you're right, is an added bonus from maybe some poor performance and results. But like anyone, you want to be going in. And I think it was very much the emphasis on Saturday is let's make sure we go into this week with a good performance and a good, good result that sets us up. At the moment, we're a little bit down in the dumps. There's a bit of despondency about the camp because of them previous results. But it'd be my job and, my management team's job to get us right up where we need to be for Monday, which I'm sure won't be a problem.
And being a Monday night game, what does that mean for the weekend? Do you actually get a lie-in on Saturday?
No, we'll be training at 9:30. We've got a pitch booked for 9:30. We're training from 9:30 to 11:30. So if anything, it's an earlier start. You know, we need to keep the chaps where, you know, where they need to be. You know, we would normally be a Thursday, Saturday. Saturday will be very much, you know, putting our, you know, our plans into place. We'll be looking at, you know, a relatively light session with some set plays and different bits in there. To hopefully unlock our opposition. I was up in Nottingham on Tuesday for the Notts County v Oldham game to, you know, to take in a performance from Oldham that, you know, showed up that they were, you know, they're very experienced. They've got a lot of men in their team. They give up very, very little. There may be, their form's been a little bit indifferent of late, and there's some areas of concern for us, but, you know, also some areas that we maybe can exploit. But, you know, it's very much a working week. Saturday, as I say, we'll be in and we'll be preparing ourselves for Monday night.
And you get to go and watch another game then on Saturday, Sunday, with not having a game?
Yeah, I think Saturday we'll go off. I mean, with the management team are split up. Maybe one or two will go to one or two will go to the other. There's a couple of games that, you know, that are of interest to us, with opposition coming up in weeks to come. So I think we'll take in a game of some description, hence why we've, you know, made sure that the training's early enough to allow us to do that. So the work never stops. You know, we're already looking beyond Monday, like you would expect us to be. As much as we're caught up in the moment, we're still, you know, preparing for weeks ahead, and that's very much how it has to be.
And I guess TV game as well on Monday, that must mean you've got to fit in a haircut and a shave at some point as well.
Yeah, for sure. Not just myself. I think there'll be a few others with that in mind. You know, it's a game that we, as I just said to you, that, you know, really sort of, you know, it's what non-league football's all about, isn't it? I mean, some have experienced it, some haven't. But it's definitely something that, you know, it's an occasion that we will savour. It's an occasion that, you know, when we look back on our careers, I'm sure it'd be one that we remember. And, you know, and what we just want to do as a football club and as a change room is, you know, is make a good account of ourselves. Are we capable of beating our opposition? Well, there's been bigger upsets than this one, on the FA Cup trail, as they say. So, Of course it's possible, but we need to be everybody at full max, and we know that there maybe needs to be a little fall off in performance with our opposition. But, you know, we're going into the game as prepared as we can be. We're maybe, as I say, not as confident as we'd like to be on the back of the results, but this is a one-off game. It's a one-off occasion. And, you know, and as I've just said to you, I don't think the players will need motivating too much. There'll be plenty of self-motivation there with the magnitude of the game. So it's just about us harnessing that and making sure that they stay in control of those emotions, because it's a big game for most players.
Yeah, it must be difficult as well being a Monday game, because I guess some of them are still going to work and keep focus for that game in the evening as well.
Yeah, I'm sure some will still be at work. I'm sure some have booked the days off, you know, with the game in mind. But yeah, I mean, you got to remember that, you know, we are part time. We do work in and around our football lives. And, you know, with it being a midweek fixture, it's always a challenge. I think any non-league manager tell you that. Not all players can get to meet times and meet places for coaches and such like. This game is obviously, as I've just said to you, a one-off, and it's a game that I'm sure everyone will be make preparations, you know, accordingly. But, you know, I'll be having the day off and getting ourselves prepared for the game, and I'm sure a few would do that as well. But, you know, it's a game that, you know, that really, you know, the whole football club can really be part of. I mean, I think it's a sellout as well. So it's definitely going to be a night to remember. And as I've just said, we really want to be, you know, put a performance together that the club can be proud of.
Yeah, one step from a friend of the show, Phil Annette at FA Cup Fact File, that last season Oldham Athletic exited the FA Cup in the first round for the first time in 7 years. So you could make it the second time running for them.
Well, that's our hope. We'll be doing everything we possibly can to make it a double whammy for them, for sure. We know we've got our work cut out. I've just said we're huge underdogs, but, you know, we're going to be going into the game on the front foot, and and definitely not just looking to contain them, to try and ask some questions of them. It's very much what our football is geared about, is asking opposition questions and, you know, and seeing if they've got the answers. And it won't change on Monday. We've got to understand that, you know, the fitness levels and ball retention will be maybe a little greater with them being a full-time side. But we've got to look to try and impose ourselves on them. And, you know, it's the FA Cup first round. We'll both know who we've got in the next round, if it be a big one or a winnable one, which can work both ways for both clubs. That's being held live in the Hammonds Bar at the Beverley as well, live on TV. So, you know, it's a big night, you know, in general for the football club. It's something that they're really deserving of. I mean, there's a lot of good people at the football club. And in the short time I've been now, I've been, you know, made to feel really welcome. It's a, you know, it's a fantastic football club with great tradition. I'm just pleased I can bring this type of game to the Beverley and give them all something to, you know, to enjoy.
Yeah, and I've been there for a playoff final. I know what the cup atmosphere is. It's very tight, and the fans can really, really help you, can't they, and get behind the club.
They can, yeah. I mean, Oldham tend to travel well. They requested, I think, 500 tickets. I'm not sure if they'll sell the full quota, but we've definitely sold our full quota. It's at the present, if Oldham sell theirs, it's a sellout. So that in itself tells you that the atmosphere will be rocking. We need them to play their part. Of course we do. They've been fantastic over the course of the season. It's a real vocal and young, youthful support, you know, obviously backed up by, you know, the Old Faithful. You know, they've been really making some noise lately. So we need a bit more of that, obviously, on Monday night. If they can play their part and just give us an edge vocally, I'm sure it'll spur us on.
Yeah, and you mentioned obviously form's dropped off, but you have started so well there at Hampton since moving on from Hendon. But you've got to be fairly pleased as well, given the years that you spent at Hendon, to see how well they've continued in your absence too, because they've got a fair bit of travel in that Southern League Premier South.
Sure, they're doing well. Yeah, I mean, you know, personally, would I have taken the position we find ourselves in? I'd have maybe liked to have been a few places higher. But in terms of points total, in terms of points, you know, away from where where we want to be, you know, we're in a healthy position. Of course, form of late hasn't been great, but when you look at the form of the first 10 games, we picked up 20 points in them first 10 games, which is, you know, a great return for a new football team, and for a new management team in a new league. So, you know, we've had a positive start, a real positive start, but it is only the start, and we've still got plenty more to do and plenty more, you know, difficult challenges ahead. In terms of Hendon, I'm really pleased for, you know, their return and where they find themselves. Jimmy Gray's done an excellent job. You know, he found himself in no different position to us, with a blank canvas and a new picture to paint, with a completely new set of players. And, you know, he was exactly the same position as I found myself. So I know how difficult that is. So credit where it's due. They've done, you know, they've had a great start, and, you know, I'm really pleased for all involved at the football club.
And you're about to embark on your own new chapter with an FA Cup victory, hopefully, on Monday.
Yes. I think, you know, as a manager, I've not progressed past the first round. It's the third time of asking. So I sincerely hope it's third time lucky. You know, as we've spoke about earlier, it's a tough ask against tough opposition, but, you know, the cup and the FA Cup is very much geared around the upsets right the way up to, you know, to the latter stages of the tournament. So, you know, they've chose our game live on BT Sports for a reason. So we've got to make sure we don't disappoint. You know, we're looking to progress, and we're looking to put a performance together that's worthy of progressing. So, you know, it's a matter of everyone being, you know, with their A game. And if that is the case, then, you know, we've got a chance.
Well, never one to disappoint us, Gary. It's always a pleasure talking to you. We wish you well at the weekend, and wish you well for the rest of the season.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much, and you're most welcome.
SpinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
So it is Cup Fever weekend. As well as the FA Cup, we have 36 ties in the second qualifying round of the FA Trophy. Despite the magic of the FA Cup, this is probably the more realistic chance for non-league clubs to reach a Wembley final and put their club on the map. One club who have history of some decent runs in the FA Trophy in the past is Witton Albion. And I'm pleased to say that director of the club, an old friend of the show, Mark Harris, joins us on the line. Welcome back, Mark.
Thanks, Tim. Lovely to be here.
Well, I mentioned the FA Trophy success, and that was obviously 91-92 season, runners-up in the competition, then the following season, I think you made the semi-finals as well. Does that give the competition an extra something for those associated with your football club?
I think so. It was a fantastic day out for everybody connected with Witton Albion, although it's quite a long time ago now. So you always come at it from a perspective of, can that be repeated? The club's had a good run in the FA Cup this year as well. So cup football is very much on everybody's minds at Witten's, and we're looking forward hugely to the game this weekend.
We often talk about the difference between the resources of National League sides and clubs like yourself in the Northern Premier League, but is it still a competition that a club from outside steps one and two could win, given the right form and a bit of luck?
I think realistically you have to say it's almost impossible. You only have to look in recent years. I think we have to go back to something like 2005, 2006, when Bursko, then a Northern Premier League team, as they are no longer, but then a Northern Premier League team, last got to the final of the trophy. It is a huge ask. I think for a club at our level, whether it be in our Prem divisions or in either of our first divisions, if you can get to the latter rounds of it, you know, that's probably about as good as it gets. It's a shame, but there it is.
Yeah, and a home draw for you guys this round after winning Whitby in the last round. And AFC Rushden and Diamonds are your visitors. So weather permitting, it sounds like it's going to be a great cup day out.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. I mean, we had some great battles with Rushden and Diamonds a couple of years ago when both clubs were in our first division south. That was the year that we actually won the playoffs for the league. And we had some great ding-dongs in the playoff semi-final, some super games. So we're really looking forward to it. And I'm sure it's going to be an extremely tough game. Hopefully there'll be plenty of people turning out for it. Obviously, there's slightly more prize money available this year. Not as substantially increased as the FA Cup has been. But it's still worth weighing. And I think if you're to ask any footballer going into any FA Trophy tie this weekend, whether they've got a chance of reaching Wembley or not, they want to win.
I was going to ask you that question. You're obviously, you see the history. You've been to, well, probably more finals than I have. But you see what it means to people to reach Wembley. But for the new players coming through, is there still that magic associated? We often say there's not the magic associated with the FA Cup, but what about the magic of the FA Trophy for younger players?
Well, clearly it's less of a magic, if you like, than the FA Cup, but it still provides an opportunity, ultimately, for any player to do what I believe they would all want to see as the pinnacle of their careers, i.e. the opportunity to play at Wembley. And again, regardless of how likely or not it is, I think in any good team unit, you've always got an ethic of competition, and particularly in a cup competition of this nature.
Talking about your club, in the league, things not quite firing, just above the relegation zone, but still plenty of time to go. Is playing in the trophy a welcome distraction from that sort of thing, or would you almost prefer to be playing the league game to pull yourselves clear?
I think if you were to ask the question of the manager, he would say to you that actually it's a game. It's a game like any other. It's a competitive game and a game that we will set out to win. I think our position in the league is somewhat misleading. We do have a number of games in hand, and that's reflective of the fact that the players did ever so well to get through to the latter stages, qualifying stages of the FA Cup. So that's a contributory factor. There's a long, long way to go yet. No one's talking of wrong ends of tables. Tomorrow gives us another opportunity to put some prize money into the club, which is always extremely compelling and focuses everybody's minds. And the players are no different in that respect.
Yeah, and your club has always been one, trying to do new initiatives, new ideas, things, be a bit more progressive, think out of the box and that sort of thing. Anything on the horizon or new events that we should be knowing about?
Well, from a club perspective, this year we've launched a membership scheme. And what that does, it's sort of like a super season ticket, where we're rolling in benefits that include discounts at food and beverage outlets. It also enables our younger, our junior Alps fans to get a raft of benefits like meeting the players. So we think that's all part of our sort of youth and community strategies. But, you know, it's a tough job running any non-league football club, whether it's Witton Albion or anyone else across the National League system. Increasingly tough. It's all about trying to attract more people. It's about trying to attract younger people. The bills only ever go one way, and it's tougher to find the income to meet those bills. But everyone's in it together. You know, that's the beauty of non-league, isn't it? That's what we're all in it together to do.
Yeah, and it's difficult because in a way we always naturally focus on the success of the first team. But in running a successful football club, as you say, the community is that's probably the most important aspect to get right, isn't it?
Well, I think it's certainly one of them. I think the days are long gone. And there are still clubs out there, and I would always respect any club that said that I'm really only interested in the first team. And I would have respect for that view. But I think more and more clubs are realising, particularly non-league football clubs, that you really need to be an asset in the local community, which means that if the asset is only available once every 10 days for a game of football, you're probably selling the facility short. So I think more and more clubs are realising that the future lies in having strong junior sections, in having good, strong, vibrant community activities, because there's an awful lot of people in our local communities who actually don't necessarily engage with the football, but they will engage through the facilities. And whilst it's far from easy, there are a number of clubs in the league that have developed community interest organisations, which enables them then to draw down funding and grant funding for projects that wouldn't necessarily they'd be eligible for through the main football club. You know, the Football Association, which is often derided for its lack of support, is doing a lot of work to develop new schemes to help clubs establish themselves as hubs within the community. So whilst the first team is always going to be the focal point of any non-league football club, I think you really do ignore what happens below the first team at your peril.
And that's why we love having you on the show, Mark. It's that extra knowledge. And of course, we couldn't have you on the show without using your knowledge in your other role as chairman of the Northern Premier League. Obviously, we've not spoken to you this season. You were disappointed not to get one of the new divisions in the restructure. But looking back, has it actually given you more chance to work with the clubs you already have?
To a degree. I mean, that decision was made and we moved on. What we now have is obviously the first phase of the latest phase of the reorganisation in place. We've seen a number of teams coming into the Northern Premier League. Some have settled in extremely well. Some have settled in less well. Hopefully they're enjoying their stay with us. For me now, what this is about is looking at things like ground grading criteria, because what we do have is a number of clubs that are coming up from step five, and we need to ensure that the jump between the divisions is achievable, not just on the field, but off the field. So that's the first point I think to make. The second point is that the reorganisation is far from over. It's a long-stated ambition that we want to bring in an eighth division at step four to create a more pure pyramid. And we're working with our fellow feeder leagues, increasingly standardising, increasingly talking from the same hymn sheet, as it were, to ensure that when a club comes into a division, you're no longer promoted to or even relegated into a division. You're promoted or relegated into a step. And what we have to do is to ensure that clubs are prepared when they're with us for life at the higher level, and also ensure that clubs that do come up to us, and if they don't particularly want to go forward to the higher level, that they are able to thrive and have sustainable businesses while they're with us.
Yeah, I was having this discussion with somebody the other day. We were talking about how schools put a lot of focus now on the extracurricular stuff and the pastoral care. And that's something that almost football has missed out in recent years. And maybe where we need to focus is that, as you're saying, you've got clubs coming up and they're ambitious, they want to come up, but there's not necessarily always the support network there to help them or guide them in the right direction. There might only be two or three people running the football club. And it's that pastoral care and the support network, which probably non-league could do as well as any other level of football because of the community that we've got. But that's probably where the focus needs to be.
But I can't speak for any other league. All I can say that what we try and do within the Northern Premier League, and it's not even for me to say whether we do it particularly well or not well. Our clubs would have to say that. But we certainly regard our responsibility is when a club comes into us, we are there to help them. We're not there to help them break the rules or cover things up when they do break the rules. But what we are there to do is to help them understand what their obligations are, understand how to meet those obligations. Little things like, as you're coming up the league, all of a sudden, there's a thing called the workplace pension. And it's very easy to be caught out, and many of our clubs don't actually hit the threshold in terms of the wages. But dealing with things like the workplace pension, that's a whole new ball game, and contracts and things like that, things that are very compliance orientated. Now, for all clubs, as you've rightly said, who rely on the volunteers, and without the volunteers, we have nothing. It's about striking a balance between helping them to up their game, but also ensuring that we're not going to lose volunteers simply because the job becomes too difficult.
Yeah, it's that balance of keeping people enthused, but making them understand that we have rules to follow. Mark, it's always fantastic talking to you. I could probably talk to you for another hour or so, but I wouldn't want to bore people more than I already do. So maybe we'll have to meet up at a game and have a chat. But thank you once again for joining us on the Non-League Football Show, and best of luck at the weekend.
Tim, my pleasure, and thanks ever so much. Cheers now.
So just time to head to Non-League Towers and catch up with senior writer Matt Babcock there for our weekly roundup of everything else in Non-League. Hello, Matt, and quite a busy week in Non-League circles this one.
Hi, Tim. Yes, busy as they always are, I'm sure, but it feels extra busy this week just with the FA Cup first round. Some games are spread across a few days, aren't they? Harrogate kicking it all off on Friday night, but then we've got games on Saturday and games on Sunday and Hampden on Monday. So a little bit of a different issue for us. We have to preview all those Sunday and Monday games. So we actually have to put a bit of grafting in the week. We can't wait for everything to happen on a Saturday and see where we're going for it. But yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, it's a sort of time of year when I certainly get a few texts from journalist friends who are in the mainstream media, you know, asking for a few tidbits. Do you get the similar sort of thing? You know, suddenly you become the flavour of the month. Everybody wants to be your friend.
Yeah, definitely can relate to that. And, you know, I know it's great for non-league clubs to be getting all the national exposure, isn't it? And you know, really sell themselves and to different audiences. But yes, they sort of were often looking for those sort of lines of where the butchers, bakers and candlestick makers are applying their trade these days and all that sort of thing. So, yeah, I mean, there's so many great stories in the FA Cup, I guess, for us and for yourself. It's all about trying to tell those stories sort of in August when there's not much going on, don't we? So,
well, that's it. I spoke to Phil Annette earlier on the FA Cup Fact File, and we've obviously got lots of non-league clubs against league opposition this time around. You're saying those stories that the people are looking for. I'm not even sure, but do people still make candlesticks? I don't know. Do candlestick makers exist still? Because the world of football's changed, isn't it? We spoke to Gary McCann as well at Hampton. His boys have got a Monday night game for the FA Cup. Massive, probably the biggest game that they're ever going to play in their lives. But do they take days off work? Do they even have jobs where they need to take a day off work? Can they, you know, the world of non-league is very different, and the people beyond non-league don't always see that, do they?
No, definitely. It is very different. And it's, you know, I often speak to particularly young players these days, often playing step two, step three. And you sort of say, oh, you know, what do you do when you're sort of talking, you know, a bit of small talk. And a lot of them, they don't work because they are just trying to focus on that professional goal. You know, whether that's right, I don't know if it works for everyone. I mean, Alex Woodyard is an example where it sort of springs to mind, because he did sort of take a bit of time away from work, and I think he was labouring and he'd sort of dip in and out, but to really sort of focus on trying to give himself the best chance to get into the professional game. That obviously worked when Lincoln City came along for him. But yeah, it is completely different. I think I can understand why people like those lines of where people work and all that sort of thing. But you know, there's a bigger picture now, and a lot of these lads have played very good levels and then come down into non-league, and you know, often are already working in football in different capacities anyway, and this is sort of their enjoyment as well, and it gives them a little bit of top up extra money as well.
And obviously FA Cup calendar with the first round proper, but we've also got the FA Trophy and some tasty ties in that as well. It's a busy calendar this time of year.
Yeah, has that happened before? I feel like we were sort of talking about this in the office last week. You said, oh, it's FA Trophy next week.
I certainly seem to remember Trophy and Cup clashing. It's never been a problem with my club that we're in both competitions at the same time. So it's maybe it's probably not a clash in terms of a clubs competing. That I'm not aware of a club that are in both competitions at this stage this year. But it obviously, when they're trying to fit the VARs and the trophy in and FA Cup, it does seem you lose a little bit of the magic of the trophy though, because it's overshadowed by the cup this weekend.
Yeah, and that's maybe the point that sort of comes out of it. You sort of do forget a little bit about that the trophy's going on this week, just because of all the sort of focus on the cup. Obviously, we'll have coverage in the paper on Sunday still, but you know, there's some big sides in there and some big ties, isn't there? So it's sort of a bit of a shame, but I think it's very difficult. I know with the way the pyramid's changed, it's obviously shifted the way the cup and the trophy's been, you know, with different number of teams in it now. But there's lots to look forward to in that competition. And say about the magic of the FA Trophy, I just sometimes wonder whether if National League clubs don't come into it for quite a while, but if those clubs could sort of come in a little bit earlier, or it could be reconfigured slightly, just because a lot of the step three and four clubs sort of knock each other out early on before all the so-called bigger guns come in, and you sort of miss out those sort of exciting ties that almost replicates the FA Cup on maybe a slightly smaller scale. You know, I don't think we should underestimate what the likes of a Leyton Orient going to Haringey Borough was like last year. You know, that was massive for Haringey, and those sort of ties don't quite happen enough, in my opinion, in the trophy. And if there's one thing I would change about, you know, I know we've said before about people wanting to change it to a midweek competition and things like that, but I keep it as a Saturday. I think that's the way it should be in the calendar, but I'm a bit of a traditionalist from that point of view. But I just would like to see some more of those sort of big ties, also those sort of interesting kind of FA Cup-y ties, where a big National League, ex-Football League club or big National League club are going down to a smaller ground and having to sort of try and negotiate their way through a tricky tie. Don't know whether it would ever happen, because I know a lot of National League clubs, you know, don't want to play as many games as they do as it is in the competition, because obviously some see it as a smaller priority. But I'm not for that. If you gave me a chance to get to Wembley any time, I'd be all for it. I'd love to see my team play there.
Yeah, it's that politics of the game, isn't it? Which happens. We talk about the politics at the higher level, and you know how the non-league isn't as effective, but it is. There's plenty of politics at non-league, and I put the same question I put to Phil Annette earlier on the FA Cup. We've got the FA Cup first round proper, but really it's the seventh round of the FA Cup. Now, you're a traditionalist. Would you ever like to see it being shifted? It just gives it a little bit more importance, because there are plenty of clubs that have played plenty of games.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's like I can't imagine. Can you imagine? It's seventh FA Cup, seventh round there. That's what we all dream of. So everyone would be dreaming to get to the tenth round. But it'd be it's a bit of a weird. It's one of those quirks of the English football calendar.
Yeah, we'd probably work backwards, wouldn't it? We'd have the eighth finals and the 16th finals, and rather than the higher number rounds. But we've got the FA. You talk about the National League clubs not coming in until later in the FA Trophy. We've got a very competitive round, but it's still known as the second qualifying round in the FA Trophy, and it's a similar sort of thing.
Yeah, it's a bizarre one. It's always have a smile when we sort of talk to our designers about it at the paper, and they sort of say, what round are we in now? And you say, well, it's first round qualifying, not first qualifying round, and all those sort of things. We try to get it all right, and they can't get their heads around everything that's going on. But it is strange. Look, preliminary rounds, extra preliminary rounds, all over the place. It would make it a bit more straightforward, but it would be strange getting into the 11th round of the FA Cup or the trophy and things like that, wouldn't it?
It just might make it a bit more accessible to people. And anyway, these are the stories that are going to be written next week after all these great results and great cup sets and that we get this weekend. Already this week, though, this managerial merry-go-round, it was a bit quiet last week, and then suddenly, big changes.
Yeah, it's spinning away as it's often does. I mean, I suppose the big one of the week was Darryl McMahon leaving Ebbsfleet United. Darryl's done a fantastic job down there. You look at his record. I think his win percentage in the league is over 50%. He's picked up an awful lot of points. They probably would have got promoted from the National League South in his first season. They would have got promoted any other season other than Sutton's amazing run that sort of pit them to the title, and they had to go into the playoffs and lost out on that. But he got them up eventually the year later, again through the playoffs, and then last year they sneaked into the National League playoffs as well, and then got, yeah, I was up at Tranmere the other day, they in the semi-finals, and they were absolutely outstanding. I think they were just out on their feet from a long old run. So I suppose it's surprising in some ways that he's gone, but at the same time it's not, because there's been lots of things coming out of Ebbsfleet. They've obviously got this financial restructure, and that's seen a lot of players been sort of made available, and Darryl's lost some of his coaching staff. And I don't think when you're people that you're very close with and work with closely every day are suddenly taken away from you, I don't think that's can be always very easy to accept. And you know, I'm not hugely surprised that he's now left, but I can't see him being out of the game for long, because he's a hugely impressive person to speak to, and the way he carries himself and the way he goes about his management is always he takes a lot of credit for that. He's been really good at getting some of the players he's got in there as well. He's can see how much they enjoy playing for him. But Gary Hill's the man who's come in, and again surprising in the sense that Gary's been out of the game for so long since leaving Woking. Really, you know, wouldn't think he'd be out for over a year and a bit longer, for a season and a few months now. But his record wherever he goes sort of stands up to scrutiny. You know, he's absolutely outstanding at Woking. What he did there, went in when they were really struggling and turned him into a real force in the Conference South, and then got them promoted, and they obviously held their own. And lots of players I speak to always say how much they enjoy playing for Gary Hill. I think he's different from Darryl, and Darryl's much more of, you know, coach and that sort of side of things, whereas Gary's maybe that more sort of old school non-league manager, where he's, you know, gets good people around him, and you know, really uses his contacts to get some really good players in, and really his man management sort of outstanding. So it's obviously a different route for Ebbsfleet. It'd be interesting to see how it goes, but you can't argue with Gary's record at all.
Yeah, if you wondered when the news came out that Darryl had left, who they were going to get in there, particularly with the various rumours that were going around. But as you say, Gary's record, I hadn't considered him, as you say, because he'd been out in the game, and I just presumed he was enjoying his Saturday afternoons instead. But it's interesting looking at some of the forums. It doesn't seem to have gone down too well with some of the Ebbsfleet support.
Yeah, I think the probably Ebbsfleet support are probably a bit upset anyway, as it is, you know, whoever it was, just because of everything that's been going along. You know, I think probably from their point of view, their club's been ticking along nicely. They've got this really nice new stand built, and everything's really been progressing on and off the pitch, and all geared up for a Football League push in the next few years. And then the results haven't been great on the pitch, and they're thinking, oh, why, what's going on? And then it starts coming out that, oh, actually they're having this financial restructure, the players are being paid late for, you know, not just this season but into last season. There's sort of these rumours that they were, you know, before pre-season they weren't going to turn up because of late payment, and that whole sort of that has just completely shifted the dynamic of how how they're feeling about their club, because that probably was a real shock to them. And obviously then they've got a lot of time for Darryl and what he's done for them and what he's achieved. It's always was going to be whoever comes in is always, you know, there's always going to be that sort of, I feel there's always going to be that sort of, you know, reaction to it in a way. But it's probably not what they FC fans were thinking a couple of weeks ago when they were more worried about just trying to get a few more results on the pitch.
After talking about a club that had a manager for a number of years, and we move on to Eastleigh, who have had a number of managers over a number of a year probably, and then it's almost like the fans' favourite, and we were all hoping that Ben Strevens would get the job, and he's been appointed as manager there, and he's brought Jason Bristow in from Basingstoke with him.
Yeah, he has, and that's moved. You see earlier that Terry Brown's sort of come. I suppose if you go upstairs to be director, but we come back downstairs, don't you? So he's come downstairs to be the manager.
Has Terry Brown still got his slippers on? I'll have to give him a call. And
Ben, I spoke to Ben earlier this week, and sort of had a really, really enjoyable chat with him. Actually, there's a piece in Sunday's paper. He was quite honest and open enough a few weeks ago to say that he probably wasn't going to get the job. They lost to Aldershot in the league, but then they lost to Hampton in the FA Cup, and that was obviously a bit of a blow. And he came out after the game and said, "Well, that's that now. That's my chance gone." And here we are a couple of weeks later, and he has got it. And he was sort of quite honest enough to say that the club's interview process, how thorough they were, how meticulous they were in their search for the new manager, which he was obviously always part of that process of interviewing for the job. The fact that they took so much time about it actually gave him extra games, and he got good results against Orient and Salford, and they won up at FC Halifax. And he was saying, you know, that as much as it's the interview, the general sort of sit down with the board was an interview. Also, he had the fortune to have that interview of what's going on the pitch, and the club could see what he was creating down there, and he sounds like he really wants to make a really good go of it. You know, he's had a really good career, and he's saying, you know, the way he worked from when he was at Wingate and Finchley, and Barnett picked him up there many, many years ago, is how he's got to be now. And he spoke real fondness about his time at a lot of his clubs, but particularly Dagenham, and how Dagenham really helped him in his career, and the group that they had there that won promotion and won the conference under John Steele quite a few years ago. So, yeah, really hope he does well. I was really enjoyed having a chat with him. And I think it's maybe from Eastleigh's point of view, it's a good appointment because he knows the club. He's in there, and it has been sort of a crazy couple of years for them, really, isn't it? With everything that's been going on, gone through lots of managers and lots of players as well. And just obviously Stuart Donald left to go to Sunderland, so it's not been easy. But I don't think it's been anyone's. Ben himself said it's not all the problems that they have had over the last couple of years. It's not for want of trying. It's not because people have not been doing the right things. It's all been done with good intentions. It just hasn't quite happened for them. But maybe now they can sort of get this sort of bit of stability there and push on, because they're actually not that far outside the playoffs, and they've got a good squad there.
Mm. It'll be interesting to see. Jason obviously knows the Conference South and lower very well as well, as to whether they'll be looking to recruit from, you know, maybe slightly lower down in non-league and build that community unit. And I think people that have spent a long time in non-league always seem to crave when they move into management.
And actually Ben didn't say himself that, you know, he used himself as an example of being picked up from Wingate by Barnett, who are in the Football League at the time. He's saying, you know, I know there's gems out there. I need to go and find them. He's always said he's very happy with his squad at the moment, but he does know that there's a lot of very good players out there waiting for that opportunity that are good enough. And so Jason, someone like Jason coming in as well, really knows not only the lower levels, but that sort of area as well, that, you know, if they can get some players around that area local to the club, that helps, doesn't it? I don't think fans always like players sort of sitting on the motorways coming to their club and then going home afterwards. They like to have people from around the area, which always helps foster those sort of strong relationships, isn't it?
Mm. So what else can we expect? Obviously another bumper issue, lots of cup stuff this weekend. Is there anything else that we can look out for this weekend in the non-league paper?
Yeah, there's like I say, lots of FA Cup stuff and FA Trophy. Had a chat with Hakan Hayretin, going keeping on the managerial theme. He's back at Braintree. which is you know, great news for him. He's sort of been looking for his chance to get back in since he left Braintree, actually, and I think he really really keen to make the most of his return there. They came so close a couple of years ago to keeping them up, and he couldn't quite do it. But he's already had some really positive results. And then obviously, yes, we've got lots of league action still going on, isn't there? It's what we all look at the FA Cup and everything, we forget sort of what else is going on. And there's always lots of different bits. I mean, the boys are busy in the office filing away now, hopefully.
And it's going to be a late one Saturday then to make sure that everything gets out to press and hits the shops on Sunday morning.
Well, yes. And I'll actually be at a game this week, so I can't moan too much about a late Saturday night. You'd have to speak to the others in the office who are in, unfortunately. But it all comes together somehow.
And we all appreciate it. Matt, as ever, it's always a pleasure speaking to you. Thanks for your time and enjoy your week ahead.
Thanks, Tim.
So that's it for this week. A big thank you to all of our guests once again. A big thank you to all of you for listening. And don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. And tell your friends too, they can find us every week on Audio Boom, on iTunes, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio and all good podcast aggregation sites. Good luck to all of our non-league sides competing in this weekend's FA Cup first round proper. And to everybody else, thank you and goodbye.
JIBBA, JABBA, JABBA.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.